Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we exalt you, we magnify you. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. And so, open your Bibles to Romans chapter 3. And I've entitled this evening's message, Justified by Faith. Justified by Faith. Last week, we learned Sunday morning on what justification is and what it means to us. But it all cannot come together if we do not have any faith. Can I get amen? Because we are justified by faith. And if it wasn't because of the faith, we would never receive these blessings that God has given us and understand the true value of God's word unless we believe it by faith. And what I love about God's word is when you walk in faith, guess what? You're learning how to deny yourself and that you can move in faith and believe what God has in store for us. How many believe that God has the best in store for our life? You know, I've said it like this. You know, I know there's a lot of youth around the world and young adult, but the Bible says in the book of Psalms that our latter years are our best years. So as we grow and mature in Christ, and as we also age in this temple, the body we have, our best years are our latter years. Praise God. And so let's look at these verses because we're going to close out. And then this is not going to be a long teaching tonight. Then I'm going to show a video to us to hopefully answer some of the questions regarding April 8th. It's about a week or so from now on that last solar eclipse that's coming across our nation. You know, it's only coming across the United States. But there is some biblical significance to that. And hopefully you'll have some of your questions answered. We're going to have a Messianic Jew explain this to us. And when I found this, I said, man, this perfect explanation, you know, regarding that. So let's turn our Bibles to Romans chapter 3 and let's read. Here we go. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works. No, but the law of faith. You see that? Faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith. That's where I got the topic. Apart from the deeds of the law. Or is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Verse 30. Since there is one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Look at this. Do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law. So Paul always writes rhetorical questions. He asks a question and then he answers it. This is what I love about him. And so we're going to break this down, these last few verses. And let's start with verse 27. Where is boasting then? You guys get a kick out. I know you do when I say braggadocious. There's nothing to brag about. You know what? It's something to celebrate, something to boast in Christ. When God's doing a miracle in your life, when he's doing a radical thing, he's doing like a heart surgery in you and making you a brand new person, we glorify God. We can't say, oh, look what I'm doing now. No, none of us are doing nothing. It's God doing it in us and through us. So we glorify him. We say, God, to God be the glory. You know, people will call me and say, Pastor Fee, man, that message, that you know, I said, I cut them kind of almost short. But I say, to God be the glory. To God, because we're all vessels used by Him. In the kingdom of God, there's no big eyes and little U's. We're all equal at the cross. And so never put anyone on a pedestal. Please, don't do that. Why? Because we're all equal. And we all have faults and failures like everyone else. But we're here to teach one another to help us grow so that we could be that conduit. Just like Brother Felipe, I shared with you guys earlier, when he laid hands on me and I got filled with the Holy Ghost. And so, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of what? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Wow. You see, let me just clarify this, because the Word of God brings it out clearly. It is impossible. Say that with me. It is impossible to please God without faith. Did you know that? Okay, I got the Word to back that up right here. Look at this. In Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. My sister, you were praying certain prayers, and then God answered your prayer. It's like, because you had the faith to believe that God can do this. And then the door opens and there's your answered prayer. Huh? That's because you have faith. We believe the impossible things of God. How many right now you can see things in your life that looks like it's an impossible thing? It's not impossible if you have faith in God. And that's why Paul wrote to the Hebrew church, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder. You see that? He rewards you because you diligently sought Him out. When you spend that time with Him, when you trust and believe in God, when you're totally dead to yourself and say, God, I give You my whole life. Oh God, these are my needs, God. These are my desires, God. God hears your cry. And then He blows you away. And then He'll give you a kiss on the cheek. Look, I told you I got this. Praise God. So in conclusion of chapter 3, Paul writes that there is no room for personal pride. None. There's nothing we can do to pat ourselves on the back. There can be no boasting of heritage. No boasting of the law. No boasting of the works. God's acquittal is not based on our good deeds. Hope you know that. It is based on our faith. If there's anything you learned tonight, it's our faith that has pleased God. Why? Because we are made right with God through faith. Amen. And so I put up 4 points for us to take home tonight. Number one, look at this. Faith eliminates the pride of human effort, because faith is not a deed that we do. No, faith is your whole entire soul believing in God. Did you know that people that even that don't believe in God still have faith? Because the Bible says we come into this world and God gives us a measure of faith. So He gives everyone in this world a measure of faith. Case in point. There's a bus stop down the street. And every 10:30 in the morning, that bus will arrive and pick up somebody that's waiting right there. So people that need to get to and fro, they get there before 10:30, and they don't even have to worry. They know that that bus will come at 10:30, right? So they can board it and get to their destination. Did you know that that is faith? Because they already believe at 10:30 that bus is coming for me. Well, God is wanting us to have the same kind of faith, but in Him, in the impossible things that we cannot do. He wants us to really believe who He is. And look, we read it, the scripture we just read. He's a rewarder to those who diligently seek Him. So faith eliminates the pride of human effort. Because faith is not a deed that we do. Number two, look at this. Faith exalts what God has done, not what people do. Did you catch that? It's boasting in Christ. God did it. God answered. God is wonderful. God is, when you tell him how much you love him and what he has done, now you're exalting him, because God wants to be exalted in our life. Unfortunately, we sometimes find idols to exalt, and we find each other to exalt. We got to be careful. If someone's getting blessed, praise God for your blessing. If someone needs you at that moment, here I am. What can I do to help you? But at the end of that day, you're giving all the glory and honor and praise to God. Amen? Look at number three. Faith admits that we can't keep the law or measure up to God's standards. We need help. We need his help. We can't keep up. Listen, there's 613 laws. Just imagine if you're required every day not to break one of them. Yeah, fired. Sorry, you just missed that one. You're fired. No, I mean, it's impossible. And when you cut in half a pomegranate, you ever had a pomegranate? I love the pomegranate juice. But count every seed that's in it. There's 613. That's where the Hebrews counted all those seeds and came up with 613 laws. That's why the priests back in the day, on their robes, on their garments, they had little pomegranate hanging from their tassels, from their robes. It represented the 613 laws of God. Oh, yeah. And so, we can't measure up to God's standard. And don't try to. Just give it all to God. Say, God, to God be the glory. If you're using me like no other in the history of my life, I praise you, God. And you want to do it for his glory, not for ours. Can I get an amen? Okay, so number four. Faith is based on our relationship with God, not our performance for God. That's a blessing, huh? It's based on our relationship. Do you love God? You know what I love about our Wednesday nights? You know, there's just a few of us. You know, the whole church don't come. But for those who do come, you know what that shows me? That you guys love God. All I want to see is that you guys fall in love with Jesus. And I see that, and it's like, wow, thank you, God, for working mightily in their lives. Come on, just imagine before you got saved, you had no desire for the things of God. You weren't desiring to come to a Bible study. No, none of us were. We were doing our thing, our own thing, right? And so most religions prescribe specific duties that must be performed to make a person acceptable to God. And that's a falsehood. That is not what it's supposed to be. So Christianity, saints of God, is unique in teaching that the good works we do will not make us right with God. And guess what? There's nothing we could do to get ourselves right before God. Nothing other than to have faith and believe who he is. And once you have the faith to believe who he is and you start falling in love with him, guess what? Now the things he's asking you through his word, you'll desire to do those things, and it won't be like a taskmaster whipping you. I shared it last week. There were churches I used to attend. Man, you have to live up to all their do's and don'ts and their standards. And if you didn't, they'd look at you like, I don't know if you're saved. Yeah. It's like, what? And so we cannot rise to a standard like that, because the moment we fail to reach that pinnacle, then in our minds we failed, and then sometimes we give up because we couldn't keep it at that level. Well, God's not making us keep anything at a level. He's just saying, believe in who I am. Believe what I'm doing in your life. Believe what I can do in your life. Believe what I'm about to do in your life. Believe that I've given you eternal life. Believe that you're no longer going to be dropped into hell. That alone, knowing that alone, man, God, I'm at your mercy. I'm at your mercy, God. Because those things I could not do, they were impossible. I couldn't do all those things, but you did it for me. And this is why we fall in love with him, because it's what he has done, not what we have done for him. And so no amount of human achievement or progress in personal development will close the gap between God's moral perfection and our imperfect daily performance. You know, we could start our morning off great, devotion. Lord, I love you, praise you. You know, I glorify you. You know, and you're filled with his presence. And then you get in your car, you got to go do an errand, and someone almost just cut you off. Yeah. And then there goes the window, and now, wah, 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 wah. It happens. We live in this human body, don't we? It happens. And so, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to fall short. But guess what? None of that has nothing to do with how much God already loves us. And if we sin, we confess our sin to him. If we fall short, we say, God, I fell short today, God. And God already knows. He already knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. He knew what he was getting when he called you and saved you. And he still wants us. He still wants you. He loves you. And so there could be no basis for pride in this. None. Good deeds are important, but they will not earn us eternal life. Praise God. You know, being kind to someone, that's wonderful. Being courteous, that's wonderful. Being a blessing to your children, that's wonderful. Being a blessing to your parents or your grandparents, that's wonderful. That's a good deed. But that still doesn't give you acceptance with God. It's your faith in him that he died on the cross for you. And he shed his blood for you. That's more important to him than how we entreat each other. We entreat each other with these kind deeds is because we learn to love him. And when we find out how much he loves us, guess what? We want to love each other like no differently. How can we start to find through the Word of God and learn through the Word of God how much he loved us, the extent he did to die for us, and how he basically stood between eternity and hell for us and saved us? So why would we then, in return, treat each other badly? You ever thought about that? Be mean-spirited. Be double-minded. How does that work? And it shouldn't. You know why? Because if God has truly given you eternal life, and he's in you, and you in him, guess what? It will come naturally to love without trying to love through works. It's just going to flow out of you. Your love for one another, it's just going to come out just like butter without any effort. There's going to be no effort to it. You're just going to learn to love like him. And that's what I love about the gospel. It's the good news. The good news. So let's move on to verse 28 in Romans chapter 3. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Look what James wrote right up here. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. See, there's the key right there. Because we're saved, guess what? Then people are going to see the works of God in our life. They're going to see us loving each other. They're going to see the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, kindness. That now is going to operate in our life through the power of the Holy Spirit. So by that operating in our life, now people can see the good works demonstrated because of the love of God that's in our heart. We can't, what do you call it, construct these things within our own strength and power. We can't. Because before we came to the cross, we didn't know how to love like God. We didn't have faithfulness to Him. We didn't have the fruit of the Spirit. Come on, some of us had potty mouths. Can I get an amen? Some of us, you looked a certain way, and it was like,
it's on.
That's right. Oh, come on. But now we have Jesus. We have God. And so we are a blessed people. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are a blessed person. Because of God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You see, Christianity is unique in teaching that good works we do will not make us right with God. It won't. No amount of human achievement or progress and personal development will close the gap between God's moral perfection and our imperfect daily performance. So there could be no basis, none whatsoever, for pride. Can I get an amen? None. Let's get that clear tonight. None. And again, saints, the Jews cannot claim sole propriety of God or deny that Gentiles can also receive God's saving grace. Because we can. It was proven at the cross. You see, the Jews thought they only had the Word of God. They only had the law. But now us Gentiles have been grafted in by faith. And now we have everything that they that God had given them in intentionally, He gave it to them. This is why we continue to support Israel and the Jews. Because it was through them the Messiah came and the Word of God came. So that's why we have to support them, pray for them. Sunday was an awesome day. We had fellowship, and there was a young man. His name is Nahum. He's Jordan's friend. And God was working with that. You were there, brother? Huh? Asking questions. And, you know, I was just sharing with him, you know, you need to just surrender to God. And all these things that look like it's difficult for you to do, you will do them without any effort. You just take a step of faith. I'm believing he's coming back to get saved. And even brother Jordan, little Jordan, he said, I want to get baptized too. Didn't he say that? Huh, brother? You were right there. Geronimo was right there with me. He goes, you know, when I was little, my mom told me to get this done. Because, you know what? I did it because everyone else did it. He goes, I want to do it because I understand now. Wow. Praise God. Praise God. See, God, you'll never know who God's going to bring in your path to share the love of God. And I'm glad you were there as a witness, brother. Because you saw how we ministered to him. And we prayed. And then we prayed for them. We prayed for them. You and I, we prayed for them. That was a blessing, brother. It was a God thing right there. And so, Gentiles can also receive God's saving grace. The Old Testament consistently recorded God's inclusion of the Gentiles in his plans. Did you know that God had plans for us? You know, at that time, or in our BC years, we could care less if God had a plan for me or not. We were all doing our thing. But God had a plan. He knew the day that you were going to come to Him. He knew the day that He would draw you, and that you would be drawn by Him, and that you would be coming to Him like this. Here I am. You know why? You know why when it's God drawing you? Because there's no resistance no more. Are you catching that? There's no more resistance. Remember all the times in the past when someone shared Christ with you and, you know, there was resistance. Oh, it's good for you. I'm glad you found religion. You needed God. Huh? Oh, we were there. We played that role before, didn't we? But when you finally came to that place, there was no more fight. There was no, it was like your hands were down. I'm not fighting you no more, God. Here I come. Here I come, God. And that's when it's a beautiful moment. Because now he's going to pour out his love upon you like no other time in the history of your life. And for me, it's been 35 years. For my wife, I think it's 27. Is it 27? How many years have you been walking with God now? Yeah. Matter of fact, our men's ministry during that time, Brothers in Christ, we had the blessing to go to her mom's house and share the gospel with her. And little did I know that was God's plan. He was raising her up for me. And me for her. All I did when we walked into the kitchen, she was doing dishes. And when she turned and looked at us, I said, oh my God, what a knockout. And I had to say, oh God, I'm not here for that. Help me focus, God. And I did. Praise God. The focus came and we gave her a Bible study and she called up her brother-in-law the next day. Says, you know what? I want to get saved. So that following, I think it was Sunday or Sunday night? Wednesday night, yeah. Bishop Joel Trout's father was still there, Raymond Trout. He brought a riveting Bible study. And Yolanda was there. And she ran down to the altar and got baptized. And every Sunday, for 4 weeks in a row, she came in and I would just sit right next to her. How you doing? How you doing? And then the second week, hi, how you doing? For 4 weeks, the fifth week rolled, I was counting the weeks. The fifth week rolled around and she wasn't there. And so, okay. But the next week came, she wasn't there. And then I didn't see her again for another 5 years. God moved her to another church with her nephew. And so it was too early for her. It wasn't God's plan that he would put us together just yet. And I'll tell you why. And she can share, there are times she shared that she needed to learn more of God herself. But for me, I wasn't ready to be married again. Because he was teaching me how to love him first. Before he could release me and I could marry one of his flowers from his garden. You got to remember, it was no longer me going out in the world looking for a wife. It was God preparing one of his daughters for me. And so before he could release me, I had to learn how to love him first. And once I came to that place, and I didn't know, there was no timetable on it. He allowed our paths to cross again. We dated like around 4 or 5 times and got married. That's how fast that happened then. And we knew it was God. And then he gave us a ministry together. And then we've been plowing the field for what home fellowship, Bible studies, home church, and then launching out with a couple of churches. It's our life. And this is what we love to do. And we are so blessed. I'll tell you where the blessing is. We are so blessed to bless others that you guys here are our blessing. We get to bless you. We get to raise you up. We get to sow into your life. We get to help you grow in your spiritual path, your walk with him. So that is our blessing to do that. You know, we've been privileged for that. And we've been raised up for that. So we're mighty, mighty thankful. Let's move on to verse 30. And it wait a minute. I have. Yes, verse 29 there. Let me make sure I didn't pass up. Oh, yes, I did miss one scripture here. Let's go to Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. Look at this. For by grace you have been saved through what?
Faith.
Faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, look at, not of works, lest anyone should boast. There's nothing we can look at this, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. What does that mean? That means we're saved by grace through faith, right? There was nothing, no works that we could ever do unless we become braggadocious and brag about something that we shouldn't be bragging about. Because we haven't done nothing. It's all Christ and him alone. Can I get an amen? Amen. And so, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Praise God. Praise God. So now, we can move on to verse 30. Amen? Since there is one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Wow. You got to remember, it was mandatory for them to be circumcised. Now we're circumcised through faith, and it's not our flesh. Praise God. It's the Word of God now written on our heart. He has circumcised our heart. In other words, he cut out that stony heart and gave us what? A heart of flesh, a heart. And he written his scripture on our heart. Man, I'm telling you what God has done. You see, God, he promised Abraham that all the families of the earth will be blessed through him. How many are so blessed to know that Abraham, we come from that lineage now? Huh? Because God told Abraham from the very beginning, look at this. He says, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be what? Blessed. So Jesus, our Messiah, came through Abraham. It came through the line of David. And it came to us. And that's why when Jesus comes back, he's going to sit on the throne of David. And the throne of David, we all know who David is. A man after God's own heart. Praise God. And so, we're going to close out with verse 31. And then we're going to watch a short video. Amen. Verse 31, do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. Not on the contrary, we establish the law. Meaning, Jesus came to fulfill the law. Amen? How many are so blessed to know that Jesus came to fulfill the law? Oh, that's right. He came to fulfill it. Praise God. And okay, that was verse 31. So look at this. Paul envisions the Jewish critic raising a valid question. If we emphasize faith, does this mean that we can forget about the law? No. The law's still in place. The law's still in place. Here's a natural point of view of the law of God. If you climb up a 3-story building and say, I'm just going to fly off the ledge, what law is at work?
Gravity.
The law of gravity, right? And so I don't think you're going to make it past the rim of the building. You're going head first down below and then kaplunk, right? Well, there's still laws in place. You know, you should not. People that murder, did you know that they're not getting away with it? The law of God will have his way. So the law's still in place. So if we emphasize faith, does this mean that we can forget about the law? Paul answers, of course not. In fact, only when we have faith do we truly fulfill the law. Because here's the thing. Remember, what are the two scriptures that hinge all the law of the prophets on? Which one are they? Who can quote them? Yes. To love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. He said it that those two scriptures hinge the entire law of God. How many are so blessed to know that? My goodness. You see, saints, the law is not something that only the Jews can do for God. The law is both for Jews and Gentiles. And they can only be done through faith. The law of God can only be operated through faith. Can I get amen? You see, faith returns the law to its proper place and role in God's plan for His people. Faith does not wipe out the Old Testament. Please, it doesn't. The Old Testament scripture is still intact. Rather, it makes God's dealings with the Jewish people understandable. And so look at these two scriptures I'm going to put up, and then we're going to close for this evening. Look at this. In Galatians 3:24. Therefore, the law was our tutor. And in the King James, you know what tutor means? Our taskmaster. The law pointed out our sin. The law showed us we fell short. The law showed us that we missed the mark. Okay? So therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ. You see, when we came to the realization that we have sinned, that's when God said, okay, now watch me do what I'm going to do in your life. Because we acknowledge now, we surrender, we come humbly now. Look at this, that we might be justified by what? Faith. We spoke about that last week. We're justified by faith. But after faith, look at this, but after faith has come, we are no longer under a taskmaster. For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For as many as if you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So we are clothed with Christ. The Bible, remember last week? We are clothed with His righteousness now. Man, what a blessing. So look at this in verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. So our Jewish friends that get saved, we're all one. All of us, we're all one in Christ. And look at this. Verse 29. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Did you catch all that? You know how you always hearing me, we're grafted in by faith and that we have the blessings of Abraham? Well, that confirms it. If you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Everything, you got to get a hold of it. Everything that Jesus has in all of the heavens, everything that He created, we become joint heirs with Him, isn't it? So everything that's His, He has given it to us. Is that mind-blowing? And I close with this last scripture in 1 Timothy 1:8. But we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. Amen? Amen. And so I'm going to give an invitation for those to receive Christ. Let me just say this, and this is my personal opinion. There is going to be, from that solar eclipse, there's going to be something so horrific that's coming. I'll tell you why. Why do I believe it's going to come? Because we're a nation that's full of blood. 70 million babies aborted. The political atmosphere, and both Democrat and Republicans have embraced homosexuality. And I shared with you that my brother told me that the number one crime here in San Diego is sex trafficking. So, is judgment coming? Absolutely. It is. Do we want us to see this nation destroyed? No, we love this land. God put us here. We're to pray for this land. But it's going to happen. It has to, because if you read Revelation, before Jesus comes, the world's going to be in total chaos. And it's going to be an outbreak of war everywhere. And so the only time that you saw on that teaching, the only time that we've seen a full solar eclipse over America, it was a war every time. And so the next solar eclipse is what, in about a week or so from now? 2 weeks? And everyone's going to have their goggles out there. They're going to be looking, ooh, yeah, look. And little do they know that God has marked our country for judgment. But the Tav, God has marked his people, us, believers. That's the mark is on. Tav, we are his people. So he's going to spare us from the judgment. How many are so blessed to know that? That we are no longer... Remember, I don't know how many times I mentioned it on Sunday. We're not appointed unto wrath, but unto salvation. And so if you're watching, and I'm glad that... I don't think YouTube took me off, right? No. Praise God. Facebook would have. So I am so very, very thankful that God has saved us. And if you're watching for the very first time, maybe you never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me, to pray for you, that you would receive Jesus as well. Amen. So pray this prayer by faith and watch God do the miraculous in your life. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. He's worthy, worthy, worthy. And so, saints, before we sign off.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.